We continue the shiurim gemara. Continuing the same topic about the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem. The gemara asks, after all this discussion about how Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, a spot that was unknown to any person, no one could find it. In fact, even the Roman government sent soldiers to try to locate the grave. They could see it, but they could not reach it. And the fact that the grave was placed opposite Pa'or, the worst of Odeh Zarah of all time, in order to destroy the power of this Avodah Zarah. Yet at the same time, the question still remains, what was the motive? What was the reason that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, placed him in a cave that no human being could get to? We know the location, we know exactly where it is, but we cannot get to it. A Jew cannot go to Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzion and Sully pray there like he could to the graves of different tzaddikim. Why? This is the question the Gemara asks. The Gemara answers, because Hashem knew, he foresaw, there would come a time the Jews would enter into Eretz Yisrael, they would live there in peace, they would conquer the land, they would take over, they would build the Beit HaMikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash is a place that physically is no larger than another large edifice. Spiritually, it was unlimited. Kaviyachol, it could actually house the Shekhinah of Hashem. Hashem was mitzamtzim. He confined the Shekhinah in this Beit HaMikdash, which was in the category of heaven, unlimited space. That's how holy the Beit HaMikdash was. Now, this means that, as the Gemara says, here was a people, a group, a village of people who were honored by the king visiting them and staying as their guest. Now, a guest, we could apply to the word Mishkan, the temporary holy temple in the desert that was movable, was portable, it kept on moving from place to place. The Beit HaMikdash was not portable. It was a building made of permanent fixtures and a permanent spot at Har HaMoriah, the mount where the Akedah took place in Yerushalayim, at the spot where the creation began from, on this stone that was the first part of creation. From this stone the rest of the world was molded, so this is the very center of the earth, there to remain permanently. How fortunate the Jews were to have this blessing, having Hashem with them permanently. But Hashem foresaw there would be sins committed that would necessitate destroying this Beit HaMikdash completely and driving the Jews out into Galut. Now imagine the Jews leaving their home, leaving their land, leaving the Beit HaMikdash, going into Galut, naturally realizing their errors, and wanting to pray to Hashem that he send them back and return the Shekhinah to its place. If they would leave in Galut, out of Eretz Yisrael, they would turn directly to the Tzion of Moshe Rabbeinu, there to pray. What would their tefillah be? There to request, implore, to beseech Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, you helped us in different times. Is it that we committed a sin of Avodah Zarah? You once had the same problem, the sin of the golden calf. You were able to invoke a blessing from heaven that the sin should be erased. We should be forgiven for it. Do it again. Now, have you used up any of your zchut in praying at that time? You haven't, because its tzaddik becomes much greater after his passing. You have more power now. So Hashem knew that they would come there, they would stay there, they would cry, they would shed tears, they would plead with Moshe Rabbeinu. They would say to him, rise up in tefillah for us. And Moshe Rabbeinu could not refuse them. He would rise up, for the power of its tzaddik is so great that he would void this gezeira. this decree from heaven. Why? Because the tzaddikim were so beloved by Hashem, even more so after their passing than during their lifetime. Now, we find, the Gemara says we find this to be fact, that tzaddik is greater after his passing than during his lifetime. Let us say, a very delicate point, we cannot compare, but very lightly, has to be shown for us to make comparisons. Let's say comparing Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. Which one is greater? It's difficult to say. We know just that Moshe Rabbeinu is the rabbi of all Jews without exception. That means that he would be considered even the rabbi of the fathers of the Jews. Now, let's take a look at the case of the golden calf. When this sin was committed, the Torah tells us explicitly, Moshe Rabbeinu appeared before Hashem, and he prayed to Hashem. He put his whole heart into this tefillah. It wasn't just Moshe Rabbeinu. There was Aaron HaKohen. There was Yehoshua, the ones who remained loyal to Hashem. There were the Shivim Zikenim, 70 great rabbis comprised the leaders of the Jews. All those were alive at that time. They all prayed together with Moshe Rabbeinu. He poured out his heart in prayer, asking Hashem to forgive the sin of the golden calf. There was no forgiveness. He could not receive the kapara for the Jews until finally he said to Hashem, Zechor, remember the zechut of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Only then did Hashem say, I forgive. Now, as we said, we compared the two. How come that the zechut of Moshe Rabbeinu, together with all those great tzaddikim, trying to bring down a kapara from heaven, and they could not succeed? As soon as they mentioned the names of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, he met it with success. The answer is because Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were nistalek at the time. It was after their passing, therefore they became so great, so much greater, that they were able to, and there's a chut, they were able to bring about a kapara. Imagine now that Moshe Rabbeinu, after his passing, we know after his passing, we explained in the last shiur, that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitpalel to Hashem originally, because he had been zocheh to reach the 49th degree of wisdom, of bina. And he prayed for the 50th, and it was not granted to him. He could not get the 50th degree of wisdom until he was nistalek. He passed away on Mount Nebo, Har Nebo. The Benedict says Nebo is Nun Bo, Nun is 50. And it, there was the 50th degree. In his passing, he achieved this 50th degree when he became a soul detached from his body. The symbol of the word soul itself gives us this fact. The word neshama is nun Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu got the 50th degree, this nun, as a soul after his passing. So after his passing, he'd be so great, the Jews would come to his grave, certainly they could get him to rise up, be mitpalel, to void the decree in heaven, and this would void the entire plans in heaven of having the Jews go to Galut, do the right type of teshuvah. Therefore Hashem hid the place of burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, if the Jews would not come to Moshe Rabbeinu's Tzion to pray, then he himself, knowing about this churban, would not pray by himself. The reason is obvious, because the tzaddikim in heaven know that what we call din here, harshness, harsh decrees, they know that it's good. The reason in heaven is that it's good. There is chesed, kindness in heaven. We don't understand how it is so. But when the Jews here pray, when you get tzaddikim here who's selling hard, they convert the din in heaven, which in heaven is really chesed, but they convert that din which to us is din into that which to us is chesed too. therefore they had to have, it was necessary that the Jews could not get to the Tzion of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we have spoken about, pointed out the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried by Hashem himself. Let's remember that in Gemilut Chasadim, good deeds, kindness, merciful acts, these are above even the mitzvah of tzedakah. This is one of them. We speak about Gemilut Chasadim, this means the burial of a person who passed away, or going to the Levaya, Levayat Amit, the company person in the funeral. The Gemara says now, in relation to this, there's a pasuk which says, Achalei Hashem Elokechem Telechu, follow after Hashem. Follow Hashem. That's the meaning of those words. The Gemara asks, how is it ever possible for a human being to follow Hashem? To say the least, the pasuk says Hashem is fire. Fire that burns, a fire that destroys. How can a person follow Hashem literally? The Gemara answers, the meaning of this word, follow Hashem, means follow, emulate, copy his qualities of mercy. Just as we find that Hashem gives, provides clothes for those in need, so too do you provide clothes for the needy, for the poor. Where do we see that Hashem provided clothes for those in need? The pasuk says that Hashem made for Adam and his wife katnot or ve'albishim, garments of skin, and he dressed them with these garments. They had no garments in Gan Eden when they were driven out. Hashem made for them these garments of skin, he dressed them. So we find there that Hashem provides clothes for the needy. What is meant by garments of skin, the Gemara will explain later. So too should you dress the needy. Gemilut Chasadim. We also find that Hashem visits the sick. When Abraham Avinu was ill, a time after the Brit Milah, it says that Hashem appeared before him at his home to visit the sick. So too should you carry out that mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. We find that Hashem buried those that pass away. Hashem did this mitzvah in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. So too should you concern yourself with a funeral and the burial of a person who is worthy of a learned person, person who does mitzvot. Any person who does mitzvot, you should participate in the mitzvah of the funeral and the burial. We find there's another mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, visiting a mourner. Hashem, too, it says that after the passing of Abraham Avinu, Hashem blessed his son Yitzchak, which means that he consoled him over the passing of his father. He blessed him, the beracha of Avelim, mourners. So, too, should you participate in this mitzvah of visiting the mourners, Nichum Avelim. So we see from here how the mitzvah of Gemilut Chasadim is practiced by Hashem. Hashem teaches us this mitzvah. We should follow Hashem, just as Hashem himself does this. So we surely should take part in these mitzvot. Now the Gemara goes back to explain. The pasuk said, "Vayas Hashem Elokim li Adam uli Ishto katnot or." Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of skin, and he dressed them. The Gemara says, what is this garment of skin? There's a machloket. Rav and Shmuel, one says this means that which comes from the skin, from animal skin. He did not give them leather. He did not give them hide, that which comes from the skin of an animal. It's at that time, the time of Adam, there was no permission granted to man to use an animal for any reason whatsoever. Animals are a living thing. They could not eat meat at that time. It wasn't until the time of Noah, 10 generations later, that Hashem permitted eating the meat of a living being. Until then, there was no meat that could be eaten, no meat of an animal. Of course, the Gemara says that the angels provided heavenly meat for Adam. But as far as animals were concerned, they could not be used. So if their flesh could not be used, their skin could not be used either for making clothes. But here we say Hashem provided garments of skin. This means garments that came from skin, which means the fur, the wool that grows on the skin of a sheep, of a lamb. So these were garments of wool. Second rabbi says garments of skin means the human skin, the human body has pleasure in wearing it. That's garments of linen. Worn garments of linen worn close to the skin. Now here, for a moment, we could bring out a point that's, speaking of hair, this is hair raising. It's found in the Zohar Kadosh, hinted at, and the commentaries in the Zohar bring out this point to light. And we say literally hair raising, because this deals with a statement in the Gemara, which is very difficult to understand until the Gemara sheds light on it. The Gemara says, you recall we had this before, that Rabbi Meir, one of the two top students of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, of Rabbi Akiva rather, Rabbi Akiva had two top students, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal. These were his two leading students, and Rabbi Akiva appointed Rabbi Meir, Meir Balanes, as the chief rabbi after himself. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal was not appointed as chief rabbi because his duty, his occupation was in studying for an exclusive group, going into a higher learning in Kabbalah. Meir was the chief rabbi, and after him came Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda, the prince, he was called, the rabbi who compiled the entire six sections of the Mishnah, 60 Gemarot. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin. He was the chief rabbi of the rabbis of the Gemara. And yet he said, the reason that I became so great is because I once saw Rabbi Meir's back, the back of his neck. If I had seen his eyes, I'd have been much greater than that. That statement too is difficult to understand, but that's a separate topic in itself. We once explained that too. That the Gemara says that, we explained once that it means that he saw the back, meaning the halacha, the depth. He became greater because he saw the depth, the hidden part. There's a hidden part in the Torah, the Nistar, the Kabbalah. The front part is the Nigleh, the regular learning. So he said, I became greater than others because I learned the Kabbalah from Rabbi Meir. Had I learned the superficial, the regular part of the Torah, I would have been deeper. This way I was greater because I learned Kabbalah from Rabbi Meir. But back to the point, we find that Rabbi Meir was so great that Rabbi Yehuda said I could have been much greater if I had seen him. But we don't need any further recommendation about Rabbi Meir's greatness. Now the Gemara adds, Rabbi Meir was so great, and yet always, whenever in the Gemara, and many times in the Gemara we find a debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the law always remains like Rabbi Yehuda, over Rabbi Meir. How can that be if by Rabbi Yehuda's own statement he admits to the fact that Rabbi Meir was far greater than himself? Not only that, Rabbi Meir was called Rabbi Meir, it wasn't even his original name. Meir means to enlighten, to give light. Because he shed light, the light of Torah, upon all the rabbis of his time. So being that great, why is it that in all debates, practically, the law does not remain like Rabbi Meir? This question the Gemara asks. Why didn't the rabbis of the Gemara set down the law like Rabbi Meir, who enlightened the eyes of all the rabbis then? But the Gemara answers, because he was so great, amdu al-sof dato, they could not understand his words. They could not understand the depth of his words. He was so deep that they couldn't understand the final word, kasher or taref, tameh or tahor. They couldn't grasp the final word. Because they couldn't grasp it, they could not establish the halacha, the law, like the Bimeir. Then the Gemara gives us an example. They couldn't understand his words because in his Torah, Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, was a sofer, scribe. He wrote in his Torah this pasuk, Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of kotnot or. The word or has two spellings. Or with an ayin means skin. Or with an aleph means light. He spelled the word or with an aleph. Hashem made garments of light for Adam and his wife. They couldn't understand that. This is one of the examples, and therefore our Torah we have written with an ayin, skin. That's difficult to understand too. How did he write the word or with an aleph? What's meant by an aleph? The answer is, the Farashay HaZohar explained that what happened to necessitate this item of garments. After all, prior to this, the Torah, the Pasuk tells us that they did not need garments. There was no ereva, there was no shame, like angels have no shame. In heaven there's no shame, no embarrassment. After this sin was committed, eating the forbidden fruit, then they found themselves embarrassed and shamed. They were both ashamed. And then Hashem gave them these garments. So the point is, because of the embarrassment of this sin, they required garments. Now we come to the point, this debate. What did the sin consist of? There was involved the Etz Hadat, the tree of wisdom, and as the Torah says, near it, there was the Etz HaChayim, the tree of life. Now, the tree of wisdom means the more physical item. Tree of life is a more spiritual item. If there was a pagam, a wrong act done, there were two ways the act could be done. One, in action, physically, and two, in thought. The Zohar HaKadosh delves deeply into this point, that there was something done in thought. This is one of the statements where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, at the moment before he was nistalek, when he was lying on the bed about being nistalek and his students were around him, he was surrounded by a fire, flames, heavenly flames, and they could not see him. He disappeared from their sight. Later they saw him, and he said, I just went up to heaven to inspect the place that's been prepared for me in Gan Eden and to give my confirmation that I accept the place. And I selected a place only near the prophet Achia HaShiloni, who was the rabbi of Eliyahu Hanavi. That's my place in Gan Eden. At the same time, he said, you probably heard voices. You didn't see. I was speaking to Adam and Ishon. And he begged me, he pleaded with me, not to reveal his sin. What is written in the Torah about him, fine, but not to reveal a secret behind his sin. And I said to Adam HaRishon, we have already discussed this in the Zohar HaKadosh. So he said to me, that which was discussed between you and your students, fine, don't let it go any further. That's what the Zohar HaKadosh says. Now, we won't let it go any further, just to point out that it deals with the point of Machshavah. Machshavah deals with Chochmah, very high above the regular Sefirot, but there's, as we said, action and thought. Machshavah is thought. It's a question of thought involved. Now, these two so-called trees, the tree of wisdom and the tree of life. The tree of life, Chayim, is Begimetria 68. 68, the tree of wisdom, wisdom is thought. And then we know that the Aleph, the letter Aleph, stands for Chochmah, thought. Aleph is one. And we have a Pigam, a wrong done in both cases against the tree of life, 68, and thought, 69, 1, makes 69. When you take 69, there were garments of light, heavenly light, that Adam and Chava had worn until then. Now added to this, or was 69 more than these two actions. 1 and 69 is 70. And that's the difference. The word or, skin, is with an ayin. Ayin is 70. That instead of the aleph, or light, there was now ayin, skin, 70. This is what the rabbis of the Gemara held, and therefore they had written garments of skin with an ayin. The Meir held that the pigam did not consist of anything more than the machshava, thought, which means just the letter aleph, no more. So that he had written in his sentence garments of light, he did not add the additional numbers to it. This explains lightly, or let's say it would give us a slight headache if we tried to go deeper than that into it, that which is related to this pasuk of the Katnot Or. Now the Gemara says that these items showing the kindness, Gemilut Chasadim of Hashem, we see further that the Torah itself shows from beginning to end. The Torah begins with the Gemilut Chesed, a kind act by Hashem, and it ends with a kind act. The first chapter deals with the mitzvah of giving clothes to the needy. Hashem provided clothes for Adam and his wife. The Torah ends with Gemilut Chesed, of burying one who passed away. The end of the Torah says Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu there in this valley, the Mount Nebo, and beginning and ending, we have acts of Gemilut Chesed, which means that a person throughout his entire life should emulate the qualities of Hashem and always participate in any mitzvah which is a Gemilut Chesed. Now again, the Gemara asks, back to the Tefillot of Moshe Rabbeinu. He prayed to Hashem so many times, pleading, begging, for what? To get to Eretz Yisrael. You know, people today try very hard to get there. The zechut of getting there, walking 4 feet, the thrill of going in the land of the Torah, land of Hashem. What was the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu desired entering into Eretz Yisrael? Couldn't have been because he wanted to eat the wonderful fruits of the land. He wasn't interested in Gashmiut. What was he so interested in getting there for? The Gemara answers that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, there are many mitzvot the Jews were commanded to do, ones that can be fulfilled only in Eretz Yisrael. Allow me to enter into Eretz Yisrael so that I too can fulfill these mitzvot. I desire the mitzvot. So Hashem said, if that's what you want, I hereby give you credit, full credit for having performed them. You have the reward as though you have performed them, and therefore there's no reason, no further reason for you to make this request. Now, the Gemara's question was, why did Moshe Rabbeinu desire to get there to Israel? It wasn't for the sake of eating the fruit, it's understood. What about for the sake of being buried in Eretz Yisrael itself? There's a big mitzvah for a person to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, because not just that the land forgives, the burial there forgives a person's sins, but that when Mashiach comes, when Triyat HaMetim comes, the dead rise back to life, they have to rise in Eretz Yisrael. so that those buried there rise up without a problem. Those buried outside of Eretz Yisrael must roll through the ground, underground tunnels. That's torturous to get to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says for Tzadikim, there are special tunnels made, and they go through this without any effort, without any suffering at all. Moshe Rabbeinu, naturally, would have no problem there. This could not have been the reason that he wanted to enter. Plus, the Zohar HaKadosh adds that there is a direct tunnel leading from the cave, the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu, right to the cave of four couples. There's direct contact between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avot, the fathers of the Jews. This could not have been the reason. The Gemara answers the reason was that he wanted to fulfill the mitzvot, and Hashem said, you have the reward for that. Now, how does that answer the question? Moshe Rabbeinu did not want any physical type of pleasure. A tzaddik also does not want any spiritual type of pleasure. The true tzaddik does not ever serve Hashem for reward. Never serves Hashem with Gan Eden as his motive. He's a true, loyal, devoted servant of Hashem and thinks nothing about the future reward. His pleasure is in serving Hashem and nothing more. Recall the story of the Baal Shem Tov, who once lost his entire Gan Eden for something that happened. He was very happy over it. He said, now I can really serve Hashem truthfully without any ulterior motive, without looking for reward. So why here was he told, you have it, you're given the mitzvot, you have the reward for having done these mitzvot? How would that satisfy Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is that this is true only in the case of a person who is given a mitzvah, he's given a command. Then the tzaddik says, I have this command, this mitzvah to perform, I don't want any reward for it. I'm not interested in reward, I want to be able to serve Hashem. But if he doesn't have the mitzvah at all, then certainly he wants the mitzvah. He wants the actual mitzvah and whatever goes with it. A person before entering into Eretz Yisrael is not even commanded to fulfill these mitzvot. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. That's what Hashem said to him, you now have the fulfillment, you have the credit as though you actually performed these mitzvot. Secondly, Moshe Rabbeinu's kavanah, his intentions were, just as he had served to be mezakeh the Jews until now, he'd helped them all along in performing mitzvot. He didn't want them to perform mitzvot now without his help. He wanted to see to inspire them further in Eretz Yisrael with these new mitzvot. He should take part in their actions. And here again, Hashem said to him, remember that the Jews who entered into Eretz Yisrael now would all be dead if not for you. If not for your praying for their kapara after the making of the golden calf, the Egel HaZahav, they would all be wiped out. It was your prayer that kept them alive. So any mitzvah they do in the future is still your zechut. That you have the zechut of the mitzvot, you have the zechut of all the Jews who perform these mitzvot too. Yemeni goes now to a new topic. Yemeni says that a husband and wife, when they are married, they should primarily concern themselves with seeing to it that the home is blessed by the Shekhinah, which means that the Shekhinah should rest in their home. And the Shekhinah rests in every home where a husband and wife are zocheh. They live together in peace, the Shekhinah is there. The Gemara says, how do we know this? Because Hashem wrote this in the Torah specifically in the words husband and wife, man and wife. The word for man is ish, the word for wife is isha. The word for the Shekhinah, the letters yud ke, that's the Shekhinah. In the word ish, you have the yud, aleph yud shin. And the word isha, you have the letter K, aleph shin K. So when these two are combined, they are united, Only when there is peace are they united. Then the Yud and the Ke unite too, the Shekhinah is present there with them. If, however, there is disunity, there is no harmony between them, they separate, Hashem withdraws the Shekhinah. He withdraws the two letters Yud Ke. What happens when those two letters are removed? The word Ish, without the Yud, remains the word Ish, fire, Aleph Shin. The word Isha too, Aleph Shin He, letter K is removed, you have again the word Ish. So there is so tremendous a fire that they are consumed by this fire. As v'shalom, if the Shekhinah is removed. The Yemen says, therefore, it is a great Sechiah, a great Zechut, for husband and wife to be united well. The Yemen says, but we're speaking about this fire between the husband and wife. They are still not alike. There's a difference. The fire of the woman is adifa, stronger, greater than the fire of the man. Why so? Because it's more intense. And the word ish, when the yud is removed, you have the aleph and shin with that space. The yud is in the middle between the aleph and shin. The word ish is not that close together. In the word Isha, remove the hay, you have Aleph Shin Hay. So the Aleph and Shin are literally together. There's a greater intensity to this fire. That's why it's so dangerous when the Shekhinah is not there. This is what the Gemara says. We once mentioned, in reference to this, a slight notation. It just requires a little observation, observing the word in the Gemara. Question is obvious. What's the difference, according to this statement, what is the difference whether the Shekhinah is there? In the case of a woman, even if the Shekhinah is there, the letter K is there, you still have the word Aleph Shin together. In the case of a man, the Yud is placed between the Aleph and the Shin. It separates these two letters. You don't have the word fire anymore. In the case of a woman, Aleph Shin He, even placing the He at the end, you still have the word Ish there, with the hay added to it. But there is still fire. The answer is that, note, the words, the fire of the woman is adifa. Adifa also means better. Better than the fire of the man. Which means, the fire is intense. If there is no Shekhinah, the fire is intense and all-consuming. If the Shekhinah is there, it is true the fire is still there, but a different type of fire. And what kind is this? What kind of fire is it that is holy? The Gemara says, Tanit, two cases. One, the case of the grandson of Rabbi Choni HaMagal, who was so great that whenever there was a drought, they needed rain, they came to his home for him to pray for rain. When they came there, he and his wife both prayed for rain, and the rabbis noticed that the clouds formed over the head of his wife before they formed over his own head. Rabbis asked him, how come your wife has a greater zechut than you? And he answered, because when I give tzedakah to a poor man, he comes to me, I give him money immediately. That's very good, but he cannot eat this. It takes time for him to purchase food with this money. So no matter what I do for him, he still doesn't have immediate nourishment. When he comes to ask my wife, she always keeps the fire and the stove burning. The moment the poor man comes to the house, there's always a warm meal for him. It is this fire that is so holy, that is greater than my tzedakah, he said. This is the fire of a woman. Same case too, the Gemara says that there was a fire that broke out in the neighborhood of one of the rabbis of the Gemara in a city. And in one section, that section was spared from fire. And a voice came from heaven and said, it's because there was a woman there who always kept the fire burning for the sake of the poor, and therefore this section was spared. This is what's meant by the fire of the woman. The fire of Kiddushah of a woman, provided by a woman, is holy in that it has the power of the Shekhinah. This too we find in the case of the Imahot, the mothers of the Jews. In the tent of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, that burned a perpetual candle. It was never extinguished until Sara was nystelic. When she passed away, the candle went out. This candle represented the Shekhinah that was ever present there. The candle was reignited automatically when Yitzchak brought Rivka into the tent. Automatically, the candle went on again. It was this, again, this fire, candle burning, which was the symbol of the Shekhinah. So that when the Shekhinah is there with the husband and wife, the fire of the woman represents more the Shekhinah than the husband does, because of the fact she can give tzedakah much faster, because of the fact that she represents the queen of the home, and the Shekhinah, kaviyachol, is called the queen, Hashem being the king, his Shekhinah spirit being the Malkah, the queen. In fact, the Shekhinah is called the last one of the Sefirot, the Malchut. This too, you must keep in mind that the Levana is the symbol also of the Shekhinah. The moon is the symbol of the Shekhinah. The fact that there is a deficiency in the moon, the light of the moon, we do not have a perpetually whole moon. There is a quarter moon, fraction of a moon, half moon in the quarter of the month, seventh day of the month, a full moon at the 15th day of the month. Then it begins to decrease in size until by the 22nd day of the month there's again only a half moon. By the end of the month the moon disappears entirely, a new moon is reborn. This represents the elevations and the fall of the Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, Jewish nation, and the Shekhinah, which is together with them in Galut. So that the Levana, the moon, represents the Malchut, or the Shekhinah. And therefore the Levana is considered in itself an item of pure holiness, certainly not to be desecrated by any man, certainly not by Goyim, Chas v'Shalom. But the Levana too, note in all these cases, they are all in a feminine term. The Shekhinah itself is a feminine term, Nukvah, and the Levana is Nukvah. Therefore, this item of Isha, with the letter K, the last letter, noteworthy the last letter, the letter Yud is a masculine letter, Zachar, letter K is feminine. Last letter of Hashem's name, Yud K Vav K, the last letter K represents the Shekhinah or the Malchut. And it's this letter K that's added to the word, that's part of the word Isha. So we can see here why even when the Shekhinah is present, there is this fire. Because the Shekhinah throughout is called fire. Yashem Ish Ochla. The Shekhinah is called fire, and therefore this word Ish, K, is Isha, the Malkah, or the queen. The Gemara says that because of the Zchut of Avraham Avinu, who showed an unselfishness and no desire for monetary gains, when he won the battle for the king of Sodom, he said, I will not accept anything, not a thread nor a shoelace. Those were his words, which means I accept nothing. And that's a chut, his children, the Bnei Yisrael, was a chet, the two mitzvot that are represented by these two words. The lace stands for the straps of the tefillin, and the thread stands for the thread of techelet in the mitzvah of tzitzit. And the zchut of his greatness, of his unselfishness, his refusing to accept any monetary gains whatsoever, having only bitachon and Hashem, is saying he wants only the souls and not the money. And that zchut we to this day have these two mitzvot of tefillin and tzitzit. This is the same, applies in all cases to tzaddikim. The zechut of tzaddikim is the reason that we are zochet to all the mitzvot of the Torah. And our fulfillment of these mitzvot depends upon our attachment and faith in these tzaddikim. We should be zochet to fully all the mitzvot of the Torah. and in turn be zochet to see the coming of Mashiach, whose coming is dependent purely upon faith, as the Torah tells us, in our strong true faith in Hashem and Tzadikim. We should be zochet this year to receive a gemar chatima tova, see the Biyat HaMashiach, binyan Beit HaMikdash, v'heda, amen, v'amen.